freedom is the ultimate goal of true religion, not God, not paradise, not even truth, but freedom. This has to be understood, because this is Gautam Buddha's essential message to the world. Freedom is the highest value according to him. There is nothing higher than that. But by freedom he does not mean political freedom, social freedom, economic freedom. By freedom he means the freedom of consciousness. Our consciousness is in a deep bondage. We are chained. Inside is our prison, not outside. The walls of prison are not outside us. It exists deep into our unconscious. It exists in our instincts. It exists in our desires. It exists in our unawareness. Freedom is the goal, awareness is the method to reach that goal.
So children can't grow. Friendship is a natural thing when you're living. Sharing your laughter, receiving and giving. Friendship makes your life into a sweet celebration. It's the natural flow of creation. To share, and why do we have to compete with each other? Each one is unique, and you cannot compare. Friendship is a natural thing when you're living. Sharing your laughter, receiving and giving. Friendship makes your life into a sweet celebration. celebration. And love is a natural flow of creation. Why do we have to cling to each other when there's a billion friends in the world? And why do we have to be shameful and hiding beautiful boys and beautiful girls? That we're beautiful boys and beautiful girls.
All friends of Osho Radio, we have a new program for you in which we play music, beautiful music from the world of Osho and a discourse by Osho today in which he is talking about becoming aware of your senses. The discourse today is from the Dhammapada, volume 10, number 9. This discourse is like one long meditation. Osho is talking about becoming aware of the senses, how we live unconsciously and are ignoring our senses. In the discourse, he shows you ways and little hints how to become conscious of all your senses and to become fully alive again.
Buddha says, this life is not true life. You are being lived, you are not really living. You are being lived by unconscious forces, unless you become conscious. Unless you take possession of your own life, unless you become independent of your instincts, you will not be a master. And without being a master, there is no bliss, no benediction. life remains a hell. The first sutra, master your senses. What you taste and smell, what you see, what you hear. This sutra has been very much misunderstood, misinterpreted. Buddha says, master your senses. He could have simply said, destroy your senses. But mastery is a totally different phenomenon. It needs great art, skill, awareness, meditativeness, watchfulness, alertness. Only then the senses will remain there. My own understanding is that Buddha smells more deeply. His sense of his smell is far more deeper than yours. Your sense of his smell is repressed, very much repressed. For centuries you have been repressing sex. And the sense of smell is very much connected with your sexuality. You have been repressing your sense of smell. You use so many perfumes just to hide the smell of your sexuality. Otherwise, when a woman is in her period, she smells differently. You can smell that she is in her period. When a woman is sexually aroused, she starts smelling differently. You can know just by her smell that she is sexually aroused. And the same is true about men. Sexually aroused, his body starts smelling. Because there are great chemical changes happening inside him. They affect his body. His perspiration, his breathing, his blood. Man has been so much afraid of his sexuality. Somebody may become aware. Somebody may note what is happening to him. He has used clothes to hide his body. He has used perfumes to hide his natural smells. He has tried in every possible way to appear as non-sexual as possible. And we had to repress our noses very much. You know the animals. They know through the noses whether the female is willing or not. Just the nose is enough to know whether the female is saying yes. Unless the nose says the female is saying yes, the male won't approach the female. That is aggression. That is rape. No animal ever rapes, remember, except man. Man is the only rapist animal in the world. I am not including the animals who live in the zoos. because they had become more like human beings. Living in the company of human beings, they have been distorted. Otherwise, no animal rapes. Love happens only when both the parties are absolutely willing. But man has lost his sensitivity of his smell. It is because of so-called religious teaching. For centuries, my understanding is that Buddha's sense of his smell is far more clear than yours, because there is no repression in him. His eyes see better than you can see, because his eyes are not clouded by any prejudice, by any a priori conceptions. He hears perfectly well, because his ears are not full of noise. His mind is silent. When the mind is utterly silent, you are capable of listening. Then you are capable of listening the song of the birds, a distant call of the cuckoo. Then you are able to listen even the silence. Just now, listen the silence. Not only sound, but soundlessness can be listened. But you have to be noiseless. And you can start smelling people, not only their sexuality. You can start smelling their anger, because anger also changes their body chemistry. You can start smelling their greed, their jealousy, their hatred. You can start smelling their all kinds of emotions. The moment a person comes to you, if your mind is silent and your senses are clear, unclouded, without any fog, you can smell everything that the man is carrying. He may be smiling on the surface, but deep down you can see that he is angry, a hypocrite. Try smelling people, their greed, their anger, their cruelty. And if you can learn to smell cruelty, anger, greed, slowly, slowly you will be able to smell more subtle things, their compassion, their love. Their prayer. Yes, even their meditativeness, their silence has its own fragrance. When a person is full of greed, he stinks of greed. When a person is full of silence, he exudes something of the beyond, something of the unknown. Buddha is not saying, destroy your senses. He is saying, master your senses. Become more aware of your senses. Bring awareness to your senses so that they become more sensitive. They are doors windows, bridges with existence. Destroying your senses will simply mean you are killing yourself. You have 5 senses. Destroy your eyes. And 80% of your life is destroyed. 80%. Because your eyes contain 80% of your life. 80% of your sensibility depends on your eyes. And destroy your ears, and something more dies in you. And destroy your tongue, and something more dies in you. When you have destroyed all your senses, you are just a corpse. You are no more alive. Life means sensitivity. More sensitivity and you have more life. I cannot say destroy your senses. You have already destroyed them. Revive them. Rejuvenate them. Pour energy into them. And the method to pour energy into them is becoming aware. Sometimes, just become aware of your ears, as if you are just the ears and nothing else. As if your whole body has become the ears. Just be ears, and you will be surprised that you become aware of such subtle noises, such subtle happenings around you, you have never been aware of. You may start hearing your own breathing, your own heartbeat. You may start hearing many things, and you have lived always amongst these things, but you were never aware. You were so much occupied into yourself. Buddha says, what you taste and smell, what you see, what you hear, master your senses. Bring your awareness to taste. When you are eating, forget everything else. Just become your tongue, just your taste buds. Exist there in your totality. Taste your food as deeply as possible and you will be in for a great surprise. Not one but many surprises. Right now, you are not there at all. You are eating, but you are not there present. You may be in your office, or you may be gone somewhere else, doing 1,001 things. One thing is certain, that you are not at the table where you are sitting. You are always somewhere else. If you are really there, totally absorbed in eating, you will be surprised. The first thing will be, for the first time, food becomes something divine. Eat. But eat meditatively. silently. Buddha says, whatsoever you are doing, small things, eating, walking, drinking water, taking a bath, swimming in a river, whatsoever you are doing, lying down in the sun, be utterly there, be totally there. Become your senses. Come down from the mind to the senses. Come back to the senses. Buddha knows only one law, and that is awareness. And that's enough. It takes care of everything. Buddha says, in all things be a master of what you do and say and think. Be free. Man can be divided into four parts. The outermost circumference consists of action, what you do. The second layer, a little deeper than your action, consists of your saying, what you say. Little more deeper, the third layer consists of your thinking, what you constantly think. And the fourth is not a layer, the fourth is your reality, your being. That is your center, the center of the cyclone. Your center, your being is surrounded by three concentric circles, thinking, saying, doing. Buddha says, in all things be a master of what you do. Are you aware what you are doing? Are you doing it consciously? Or just because others are doing? Are you an imitator? Just following the crowd like a sheep? Be a man, don't be a sheep. Don't follow the crowd. Be individual. Only then you can be a master. Only individuals can be masters. In the crowd, you have to be a slave. The crowd consists of slaves. The crowd wants you to remain a slave. Only then the crowd remains powerful. All the politicians and all the priests of the world want you to remain slaves. Only then they can be priests and they can be great leaders. Otherwise, who will follow your stupid leaders? Who is going to follow your so-called religious priests? If you are a little alert, aware, you will be able to see perfectly well that your leaders are hocus-pocus, that your priests are pseudo, that you need not follow them. That following them you have been falling in ditches.
Who is going to follow Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin or Ayatollah Khomeini? Who is going to follow these people? Only slaves. Only people who don't know what they are doing. A young sports car enthusiast saved up enough money to buy the latest model of a sports car. After trying out the car, he went to his favorite pub to brag to all his friends about it. "Shit, man, my new car is so fantastic. I just went from London to Liverpool in 1 hour. The next day he was back at the pub again, bragging to his friends. "Today," he said, "I made it from London to Liverpool in 40 minutes. The day after, the young sports car enthusiast was again at the pub. "Today," he said, "would you believe it? London to Liverpool in 28 minutes. After an absence of 2 days, to the astonishment of his friends, the young man arrived at the pub on foot. "Where is your car?" asked his friends. "I have sold it," he replied sadly. "But why?" they asked incredulously. "I could not help it," he told them. "What the fuck was I supposed to do in Liverpool every day?" But people go on doing. This man must have been a little intelligent. They go on going to Liverpool. Never thinking why. Why you go to the church? Why you go to the synagogue? Or to the mosque? Or to the temple? Why you go on following stupid ideologies, ridiculous politicians? Why? You have never asked it. If you look at the situation of the world, you will be able to see what these politicians and the priests have done to humanity. They have made it a hell. There is no need to ask for any proof. Now there is no need to ask whether hell exists or not. Politicians and priests, in a deep conspiracy, have made it a reality on the earth. Who is going to follow them? That's why they don't want you to be intelligent. They don't want you to think. They don't want you to be alert. They want you to live in a kind of deep sleep. They want you to be machines, not men. Buddha says, all things be a master, so that you are not reduced into a machine. Of what you do, watch what you are doing and why. Is it worth doing? Is it worth wasting your life and your breath? Are you just doing it because you don't know what else to do? It is better to do nothing than to do something without knowing why, without knowing what. Of what you do and say and think. You go on saying things and you suffer much because of your sayings. And many times you have decided not to say such things, because unnecessarily you get into trouble. You say something and you are in trouble. But still, you will go on saying the same things and the same troubles, as if you never watch yourself what you are doing. You are moving like a somnambulist in your sleep. And have you ever looked what you think? Have you looked inside? You will be surprised. You are carrying many, many mad people inside you. But nobody looks inside. People are continuously occupied on the outside. Nobody thinks what he is doing, what he is saying, what he is thinking. Rabbi Isaacs was quite fond of the Shapiro family, whose members were long-time congregants of his temple. So it was understandable that he would react sympathetically when they asked him to have a serious talk with their daughter, Rachel, who was unmarried but pregnant again for the third time. He confronted the young lady on the following evening. "I can't understand how a nice Jewish girl could allow such a disgraceful thing to happen," he began severely. "Three times yet. I suppose the babies all have different fathers." "I know," said Rachel. "It is the same fellow." "He is single, this man?" "Certainly." "You think I would go with a married man?" "Then why don't you marry him?" demanded the rabbi. "Well, frankly," Rachel answered with complete candor, "he does not appeal to me." Just look at yourself and you will not laugh at Rachel. People are living with each other not knowing why. People write to me that I am living with a woman and my life is hell. But why you are living with that woman? Nobody is forcing you. People say to me that I am working in a job that I hate. But why? Get out of it. Immediately walk out of it. Watch your life. Buddha is all for watchfulness. In all things be a master of what you do and say and think. Be free. If you can be a master, if you can be watchful, freedom comes on its own accord.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed the discourse today, I cannot say it enough, do download the whole discourse from OshoWorld.com and you will enjoy all the stories, all the jokes that Osho is telling around the sutras that he was just talking about. The full length of the discourse is more than 1.5 hours.
Oh.
This was Osho Radio for today. You listened to music by Bindu, by Chintan, and flute music by Devakant before and after the discourse. Just now you heard Deva Premal, and we're going to finish with Milarepa's song Dancing in Creation. Goodbye, everybody. Stay tuned to Osho Radio. Take good care, and until the next time. Namaste.
Strong.